good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Start with anybody has any prayer requests tonight. Sister Belt. Do you remember Erica in prayer? I talked to Brother Dave right before church. They said she's doing a little bit better than Sunday every day. She's gotten just a little bit better, pretty minor, but a little bit of improvement. So let's continue to remember her in prayer. Let's remember the service tonight. Okay, remember Dale. Okay, let's all find a place to pray before we start church tonight. And that song there says, it is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He can do for you. And you know, that song says so much there. God's no respecter of persons, no matter what someone's need is, greater than somebody else's. It's no secret what God can do for each and every one of us tonight in this service. So I'll get in, Brother Tom, if you would come lead us in some songs this evening.
Let's take the green books tonight and turn to page 511. Hallelujah. Let's get in and let the Lord have His way in this service tonight. Hallelujah.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear all your load? Just let Him have His way with thee, and His power can make you what you want to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way with thee. And would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burdens, carry all your load? Just let Him have His way with thee. And His power can make you what you want to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way with thee. And would you have Him make you free and follow at His call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have Him save you so that you need never fall? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you want to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way with thee. And would you in His kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove Him true in providential test? Would you in His service labor always at your best? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you want to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Verse 3. And would you in His kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove Him true in providential test? Would you in His service labor always at your best? Just let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you want to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Oh, and His power can make you what you want to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way with thee.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn over to page 195. Hallelujah. You know, I got to thinking, you know, after Laurie's grandma Gardner passed away Monday, had plenty of time to reflect back on her life, at least over the length of time that I knew her. And you know, she was a great Christian example of how a Christian should live. And I will never forget what she told Lori and I one time. She said, you know, the doctor had asked her a question. What do you attribute to living a long life? And she told the doctor, she said, I told the Lord if he'd give me a long life, I'd work in his vineyard. And that stuck with me all this time about, you know, how obedient she was to God. And she even told us that even after she had gotten older and moved out on her own, she still respected her parents, still obeyed her parents, even though she wasn't under their roof anymore. You know, that's a good example that we all should live by, even some of the young folks here tonight. But let's just sing Trust and Obey. If I could just obey the Lord just like she has, praise God.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. We never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. To trust and obey, that in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, what He sends we will go, never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. There is fellowship sweet when we sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do. to trust and obey.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah.
And I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. And when your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. And when your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. And I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given
me to announce that tomorrow evening from 4 to 8 at Irwin Chapel, there's going to be a viewing for Sister Gardner for the family. Just remember that. And also that next Friday, there's going to be a reception for Josh and Kayla at 7 p.m. Adrian, you want to come sing for us tonight, please?
I will never cease to
That song, I was thinking of the dorm supervisor I was in college. His name was Brother Snow, and every morning we'd wake up and go down to morning devotions, and he said the same thing every morning. He said, "Well, love the Lord, and thank that He woke me up this morning and started me on my way." You know, at first it didn't mean anything to us until we found out the story of why he started praying that one night he'd had a heart attack in the middle of the night. And he was so scared to go to sleep in the hospital bed because he was scared he wouldn't wake up. And that morning he woke up and said, "Lord, thank you for waking me up and starting me on my day." And I thought, what a prayer that you could have every morning to wake up and come down in front of a bunch of guys who really don't want to be there, that just want to go back to bed at 6:30 in the morning. But every morning he had that same prayer and same thing he left us with. Thank the Lord that He woke you up this morning and started you on your day. I wonder if anybody has a testimony tonight. God's been good to you this week, or something's happened. You just want to give the Lord the praise tonight.
Thank you.
Time is the one thing that it's inevitable. It comes by second, minute by minute. Once it's passed, it's gone forever. Heard a message one night, a preacher was telling me he had pioneered a church. And there was an old man that lived right down the street from him. And he wanted, one of his goals was to save that old man before he passed away. Well, time went on and he got busy doing things, working, taking care of the church, and he realized that no light had been on. So he started to inquire about what had happened to the man. And he went on looking and found out he was in the hospital in the city. So he said, well, I'm going to have to go see him. And then time he got to the hospital, he'd already been released and had sent to his daughter's house a little bit further away. But his son there in the same town that the pastor lived in said, well, he wants you to come see him. Well, time went by, he said, and he just lost track of time. He wasn't doing anything necessarily unfrugal. He just working and doing everything he could. And one day he got a phone call from a lady, and she said, are you the pastor who lives up in the house up on the hill there? She goes, yes. She goes, well, my dad wanted you to preach his funeral. He said he didn't have very much respect for men of God, but he did for you. And he wanted you to come. He wanted to see you. He said he needed to talk to you, but he said if you never came, it was because you got too busy. But he wanted you to preach his funeral. He said that funeral, he went out and he preached it. He said it was just a whole bunch of poor people in the dead of winter, no coats on or anything, out at the graveside funeral. Said he went back and he wept down. He said that God showed him that day, time can kill somebody. Time, once it's gone, it's gone. And he says he prayed that he hopes he never sees him whenever the just and the unjust are called before the great white throne. He said, because he could have saved him, but he lost track of the time. And now time is something that we need to take very seriously, something that we need to treasure, something that we need to expect. It's not just for the moment, but it's for eternity. Anybody else have any testimonies tonight?
Thank you.
else tonight? It's all you. What comes? Got a song for us tonight? Got a song for us tonight? Okay. Sorry, Brother Dennis, I was looking at my wife right behind you there.
Just
Got your Bibles tonight. We'll be reading from Judges chapter 16. Familiar story here. We're just going to catch kind of the ending of it. But it's in Judges 16. We'll be reading starting in verse number 16 also there. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that when she had pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak, and be like any other man." And when Delilah saw that he had told her all of his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hands. And she made him asleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service and your spirit we feel here tonight. I pray that you would move through the remainder of this service, anoint us to hear your words, we pray. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, tonight I've been studying on Samson for a little while, and I was looking at it. Samson was probably what we would consider to kids at that time probably a hero. People who saw him, you know, maybe the bedtime stories a dad would tell his son about the great and mighty man Samson. You know, I started thinking about all the heroes that we have in our life and the people that we put up on a pedestal, so to speak, as our heroes. And as a kid, I loved playing with the little G.I. Joes. Not because my dad and brother's name was Joes, but I liked the G.I. Joes and who they were. You know, they were soldiers. They were something that you could be proud of. You know, every young boy plays cowboys and Indians and soldiers, and they love it. You know, the machine guns, the guys walked out, there's nothing sissified about them. They got on their camouflage, their guns, their knife. They're ready. They're a hero. Because it was men like that why we're here today. And I'm sure Samson was the same way, maybe in young boys' eyes that saw him. Well, who's that man, Dad? Well, that's the man that killed 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone, son. Well, who's that man? That's the man that God called to deliver us, son. That's Samson. But we see here in the latter part of Samson's life where he began to fall, where he began to come out, and he wasn't the man that you thought he would be. And so tonight I just want to look at Samson's life for just a few moments here. And the first thing we see if we study out Samson is that he was called from his birth. An angel came down from heaven and pronounced his birth to his mother and father. And they asked the angel, you know, what should we do to raise this man of God? What should we do for this person that you're calling? You know, each and every one of us have a call on our life to do something. It may not be the call of Samson. Samson's call was to deliver his people. His call was to be a spiritual leader and a physical leader, somebody the people could follow. But we, each and every one of us, have calls in our life to do something for God. We're not simply put on this earth just to live our life in a day-to-day routine. Go to work, come home, eat supper, spend time with the family, go to bed. That's not what we were placed here for. God has a specific calling for each and every one of us. The same thing was true of Samson. He had a call on his life, but his call also had some restrictions on his call. One of the restrictions was he was not to cut his hair. He was not to touch any dead carcasses. And he was not to drink anything of the vine. But we see here Samson in his early years, we see how the Lord was upon him, how he killed the Philistines, how he was able to catch 300 foxes after his wife had been given to another man. He was a man of supernatural strengths, a man that had to be empowered by God. Somebody was beyond his natural strength. It was beyond anything natural. Today we see all these people, these bodybuilders, so to speak, these macho men. I don't necessarily think Samson was that big. I mean, those guys are so big they can't do anything. But Samson was somebody that was empowered by God. He was empowered whenever he was on his way down to meet his wife that he killed a lion with his bare hands. You know, today, Samson, it would have been easy, I think, just to run away from the lion. I don't see myself standing up to a lion, but I started to think about sometimes we have a lion that's seeking to devour each and every one of us tonight. You know, significantly, that lion there was coming at Samson. Today, we have a lion that's coming after us. It may not be a physical lion, I haven't seen any recently, but it's still something that's coming after, something that wants to get to us. And I believe that's what this lion was representative, because this was one of his falls later on. The thing was nothing wrong with killing the lion, but we see later on in his life how he came through and he found the honey inside of that lion and he touched that dead carcass. It was a trap laid out by the enemy, that one day he knew that he could get Samson. He had him enticed by something. But today we see here that we have a lion, as I said before, that is after us and wants to do something against us and get us to fall. Samson was enticed by the world. He saw something in the world. He didn't necessarily want to follow what God had given him. He didn't want to do what God had called him to do necessarily. I don't believe he liked the Philistines. I believe he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was called to deliver his people from them. But yet there was something there that the devil found, that one little seed in Samson, that Samson's weakness. His weakness was for things of the world. His weakness he found in the Philistine women. He found something that enticed him. In James 1:12 it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for he shall be tried. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." You know, Samson was somebody, he saw something that he wanted. He got his goal off of it, he got his eyes off of his goal in life. His goal in life was to deliver his people. He had a specific goal laid out by God. He had a specific purpose laid out. In the same way each and every one of us are here. But if we're not careful, we'll get our eyes off of that. And we can't say, well, God, you put this in my life. God, this came about and this is the reason that I fell. This is the reason I sinned, you know. Well, God, alcohol was there, you know, why don't you just make it no alcohol in the world? You know, it's so easy sometimes to point the finger at different reasons why we do things, why we fall. Well, it's so readily available. But we see here Samson in Judges 14:3. It talks about here where Samson's talking to his father about wanting to marry a woman of the Philistines. And the latter part of it says, "And Samson said unto his father, Father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." All Samson cared about was what he was inside. All he cared about necessarily was what he wanted, what his goals in life were. He didn't care about the things that he was meant to do. But then, as we read here, later on in his life, how he began to fall, and he just kept on going further and further and further. And, you know, I look at that and I think, you know, well, I think I would have been smarter after Delilah tricked him the first two times. That, you know what? I need to leave. But he was so enticed by it. The sin had such a hold on his life, he just had to go one more time. He had to try it one more time. He had to go just one more time. And I think he was scared that, well, if I don't do this, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. He did whatever he had to do to get what he wanted because it pleased him. It wasn't something that he knew was wrong. He knew it was wrong, but he went anyway. He had went ahead and he had failed to keep two of the commandments he had in touching the dead carcass and drinking of the vine, and the only thing that he had left was his hair had not been cut until Delilah pushed him and she prodded him and kept going after him and enticing him more and more. And then we see here in the ending of the scriptures where we read there, it says that they plucked his eyes out. They brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with fetters of brass and he did grind the prison house. You know, I started thinking about that. I wonder what would have happened if that same boy that his dad had told him all the stories of Samson walked by that day. And he looked over and inside of that mill he saw the grinding wheel where normally the oxen would be going around. He saw this man. He said, "Dad, who's that man?" And I think probably the dad, and this is the Bob's version, this isn't in your King James Bible, you're not going to find it. said, son, don't even worry about that man. Don't even look at him. Just ignore him. Went home. And then the little boy's curiosity, Dad, who is that guy? I can't quit thinking about him. He said, well, son, that's Samson. No, Dad, that can't be Samson. Samson was the one used by God. Samson was the one that was called by God. And he was the one that God had his hand on so mightily. He said, no, son, that's Samson. That's Samson in that prison. Well, Dad, what happened? And James, I love the way he put it here. But every man is tempted, and when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know, that's the story of Samson's life. He was enticed by the world. He was enticed by the things of the world. And even in his death, he did kill many Philistines. But his sin brought forth his death. His reason for what had happened. He was enticed by the world. He was enticed by wanting to do what he wanted, so to speak. Well, I know that's right, but I want to do what I want. I think God will forgive me. I think God will look past it. God's a loving God after all. But we get so caught up in what we want to do. You know, I started thinking about some other people in the Bible who went through the same thing, so to speak, of wanting to do maybe what they wanted to do. Peter had a lust in his heart to fit in with the crowd. He didn't want to be mocked. He wanted to, so to speak, fit in that night whenever he denied Jesus. He wanted to fit in. He just wanted to be, you know, I'm not part of that group. I'm just here. I'm one of you all. And he even cursed, it says in the Bible. But you know, the difference in Peter and Samson is that in one point, Peter found a way back. Now, I believe Samson could have been forgiven and everything could have worked out just fine for Samson. But he kept on going. He didn't get control of what was enticing him. He didn't get control through God of what his problem was. He let it build sin in his life, and that sin brought forth death. But you know, tonight, Carrie, if you come to the piano this evening, if we could all stand. The Lord lays on my heart that, you know, so many times we let the littlest things come in. The littlest things, we let them start to entice us. They start to get in our mind, well, Lord, I want to do this, but, you know, I'm going to let this slide. I know I promised I'd do this, but I want to do this now. And before we know it, I'm not saying we're all out committing a bunch of adultery or anything like that, but even the smallest thing can keep us out of heaven. Even the smallest thing, if we let it get inside of us and entice us, and that enticement leads to lust out of control, and before we know it, it could be something as simple as working a job. It could be something as simple as wanting to fit in with the crowd, so to speak. But if we don't take care of it at its smallest point, it'll grow, and it'll grow, and it'll grow, and it'll grow. Samson, whenever he first started to fall, he didn't just wake up one day and was this horrible, rotten person. It started small. It started there whenever it said, get her for me, for she pleaseth me. You know, it didn't matter what God wanted. It didn't matter what anybody else had told him was right. He wanted what was pleasing to him. You know, tonight, if we could, let's all come and find a place to pray this evening.